usual this year?
Well, I open up your Bibles to Matthew chapter 16, and I'll pray for us. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus for this opportunity to worship you in spirit and in truth. We thank you, Father, for the spirit of wisdom and revelation that you have given unto us. We thank you that because of your word, when we open it, it brings life to us. We're able to learn of Jesus and operate in this kingdom the way he desires to. We praise you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Who is God? This is an important question. Look at Matthew chapter 16, verse 16. Actually, we'll start at verse 13. Jesus was with his disciples, and they came unto the coast of Caesarea Philippi, and he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" They said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Peter got a revelation of who Jesus was at that point. But you know, there's a lot of other ways to see who God is and see who Jesus is. Look at Matthew chapter 14, verse 22. "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitude away. And when he had sent the multitude away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. When the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, 'It is a spirit.' They cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spoke unto them, saying, 'Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid.' Peter answered him and said, 'Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water.' He said, 'Come.' When Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus." So there was Peter. He had an encounter with Jesus on the sea in the fourth watch of the night. He was still learning of Jesus, trying to figure this guy out. You know, one minute he called him a spirit. Within just a few sentences, he said, if it's really you, tell me to come. He jumped out of the boat and walked on water. Two chapters later, he said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Look at Exodus chapter 15, verse 26. Or Exodus chapter 3, verse 14, I'm sorry. So Peter had a revelation of who Jesus was. Now look at Exodus chapter 3, verse 14. God said unto Moses, "I am that I am." He said, Thus shall thou say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you." The I am was one of the phrases that Jesus used that enraged the Pharisees. Completely made them boil all the way to their bone marrow. And he said, "I am." Well, that to them was, Jesus was calling himself God. Well, he was qualified to do that. But the Jewish people missed out on the great I Am when he was in their very presence. They were looking for a king that would restore the kingdom of Israel. They missed out on the Lamb. But they had Jesus there, and they reasoned between themselves, and they said, you know, we got peace with these people here. We don't want to mess it up by having this guy come in. It caused a lot of trouble for them. You know, here's an interesting thing. Was when Pilate offered to give him back Jesus, they said, no, we don't want him. And he said, then let his blood be on your hands. They said, fine with it. Let his blood be on our hands. You know, it wasn't very long after the crucifixion of Jesus that they couldn't make enough crosses. They persecuted so many Jews. They hung so many Jews on crosses in Israel that they were out of room to put crosses. They said, let his blood be on our hands. Be careful. Be careful. He is the great I Am. That means he is absolutely everything. The beginning and the end. Here's an interesting thing about the Jewish alphabet. Is the first letter talks of an ox, speaks of an ox. The last letter speaks of a cross. From the beginning to the end, it's always been about Jesus. From beginning to end, forever, it's always about Jesus. Go to Exodus chapter 15, verse 26. See, you can find Jesus in the Old Testament too. In the Old Testament, he was concealed. And in the New Testament, he was revealed. Once you get a solid understanding of the New Testament Jesus, you can go back and you can find him all through the Old Testament. Exodus chapter 15, verse 26 said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, will do that which is right in his sight, will give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon you, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. So there he describes himself as the Lord your healer. An interesting thing, when the Jewish people were in the wilderness and they got in trouble, and some serpents bit them. And God told Moses to take a bronze serpent and put it on a pole. And the people that looked at that serpent would get healed. Why would he pick a serpent? Well, when they seen that serpent on the pole, they seen their sin on that pole. They seen it on that pole, and they received from the great I Am their healing. The ones that didn't look at the pole didn't see their sins judged on that pole, and they died. John, go to John chapter 8, verse 12. Can't remember the name of that preacher, but a lot of people just hate him. He was a piano playing preacher, real famous. Right there. Yeah. Jimmy Swaggart. But if you get a chance to get his Bible, he got a Bible, he's got a really good understanding of the cross in there. I know he made a mistake, but guess what? Everybody has. But he's got, when you go through this thing, he points out these things about the cross. And it's really, really cool. It's really a good teaching. John chapter 8, verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So do you need light in your dark situation? You know, sometimes people get in hopeless situations, and they just, you know, they say they can't see any light at the end of the tunnel. Here's your light right here. You may not have the answer. You may not have it figured out how it's all going to work out, but this is your light. And if you can trust in Jesus, he'll bring you through that. The thing is, people give up. You know, what's really interesting about the ship, when the disciples were on the ship in the storm, Jesus came out there in the fourth watch of the night. You know, pretty dark. You get to feel pretty lonely sometimes in the dark. And you really, really want to see light. And sometimes that's when people feel the most hopeless. But if you're going on feelings, you're going to be frustrated. You have to go with the Word and just know that Jesus is going to show up. He's going to be there. He's already there. He said he'd never leave you nor forsake you. But too many times people throw in the towel when it looks darkest. They say, this is no use, this is not working, I'm done. And they were just a little ways from receiving their miracle. My friend preached a message one time and he grabbed a rope and he tied a knot in it. And he said, if you get to the end of your rope, tie a knot in it and hang on. Which is what we all have to do sometimes. You know, you get to the end of your rope, tie a knot in it and hang on. If you'll be prepared to stand forever, it won't last very long. You know, Abraham, he had to stand on faith for 25 years. That's a long time. You know, people say, well, it's just too late. There's nothing God can do about it now. It's just too late. You know, Lazarus was in the tomb for 4 days. He was in the tomb for 4 days. He was dead for 4 days. Have you ever wondered why 4 days? After 3 days, corruption would set in. But here's the thing. Jesus was meddling with their traditions. Because the Jews believed that for 3 days, the spirit of the man would walk around there. And he still had a chance to get back in his body and come out. But after 3 days, he'd go. So Jesus really stumped them when Lazarus came back to life on the fourth day. They couldn't deal with that. That's pretty late, being in the tomb for 4 days. It's not too late for God. Amen? And as long as you have a breath in your body, you can say a word of God. And he can change your situation. Look at Psalm chapter 18, verse 2. Sometimes we weave when we should have wobbled, and we end up in a bad situation. It happens. Sometimes you need a way out of those bad situations. Psalm chapter 18, verse 2. Says, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler in the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. Go to verse 16. Says, he sent from above. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them which hated me, for they were too strong for me. You need a way out of a bad situation? Turn to God. Turn to Jesus. He can get you out of some bad situation. I know a girl. She got in trouble. And the way the deal was if she got in trouble again, she would have to go to prison for 10 years. Well, she asked if I was going to see her. So I said, yeah, of course. So I went there and I seen her and I visited with her. And she said, well, I don't know what to do. And I said, well, you need to get born again. I said, okay. So she got born again. So I'm going to prison for a long time. I said, well, maybe not. I said, why? I said, well, you got favor with God. So we prayed for favor with the judges and favor with the court, and she didn't go to jail at all. That's the goodness of God. Amen? Look at John chapter 11. You know, sometimes we get ourselves in these pickles and, you know, well, one time I was living in Texas and this guy asked me, he said, would you marry me? And I said, well, yeah, of course. Well, then I ended up moving to Wyoming. So he called me and he said, will you still marry me? And I said, yeah, I said I would. Well, I didn't have any money in my pocket, but I ended up making it down to Texas, and God used that move to make a lot of things happen for me, where I was blessed financially big time from that. Amen. God will help you honor your word if you'll go ahead and just do it. You know, I could have said, well, no, I can't get down there. I'm too busy. Well, that's not how God wants you to do it. He'll help you honor your word and make you come out smelling like roses out of a bad situation. John chapter 11, verse 25, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? So are you just existing? Are you just wondering if you have a purpose in life? You know, because he lives, our life is worth living. God raised him back to life, and that gives us strength. That gives us hope. You know, we have not only hope in the resurrection, but we have hope in the rapture. You know, this thing is going to come to a head one of these days. I don't know when, but it's going to come to a head one of these days, and we're going to end up in the millennial reign down here on this earth, where the devil is chained up in a pit for 1,000 years. You know, there's some people that won't see a physical death. They'll just get translated into a whole new dispensation. How exciting is that? That's pretty cool. John 10:10 says the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I've come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Where there is life, there is no death. Now look down at verse 11, John 10, verse 11. It says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Do you see Jesus as a good shepherd? Are you afraid of what is ahead? See, you know, there's some people that are absolutely terrified of the rapture. They've seen these movies about getting left behind and different things, you know. They're absolutely terrified. There's Christians. There is Christians that are terrified of the great white throne judgment. They don't participate in the great white throne judgment. You have to not be born again to go to that place. Because the very next move is the lake of fire. And that's not for Christians. That's not for the family of God. Christians have no business being afraid of the great white throne judgment. You know, you've been judged already. You've been judged. Because you have to first be judged before you can be justified. And the Bible tells us that you've been justified freely by His grace. You can't be justified until you've been judged. Amen. Look at Psalm chapter 23, verse 1. A lot of people are running around with the perverted understanding of God as a judgmental God, as a God that is going to punish you if you do this wrong, if you don't do this right, He's going to get you. Psalm chapter 23, verse 1 says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake." So there is a true loving shepherd. Are you afraid of God? Then you need to see Jesus and who He really is. The good shepherd. You know, a good shepherd protects his flock. A good shepherd will protect his sheep and take care of them. Right here it shows them making them lay down in green pastures, laying down beside the still waters. It's calm. You know, still waters is calm. Green pastures is comfort. That's where the good shepherd takes his sheep to these places of comfort. And he protects them. Interesting thing. In Israel, they had these, basically, there were sheep motels scattered about. And they didn't have a doorway in them. They didn't have a door. But these sheep herders, these shepherds, would come in from the wilderness with their sheep, and they'd go to this place to put their sheep. And then the shepherd would sit down in the doorway, and that's where he slept. Jesus was the doorway to the sheep. The thieves, the predators couldn't get to the sheep. They had to go through the shepherd to get to the sheep. Amen? Another interesting thing about them sheep herders is Jesus said, "My sheep know my voice, and the voice of a stranger they will not follow." These sheep herders will call their sheep by name. And these sheep would come out of these flocks. Their sheep would follow them. And I've seen this. I've seen a shepherd in Israel walking through traffic, cars running around doing all their thing. And this shepherd was walking right down the road, and his sheep was following him. He was headed out to graze his sheep. His sheep followed him. Look at Revelation chapter 1, verse 11. Saying, "I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. Who thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea." He wanted everybody to know that he is the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. Are you confused by the reports of man? Sometimes people get confused by the reports of man. You know, a doctor will say, "You got this weird disease, and you got 3 weeks, get your affairs in order." Jesus, God said, "With a long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation." Jesus is the beginning and the end. He has the first word to say about your life, and he has the last word to say about your life. Not to doctors. "The great I am declares to you, fear not, for I am to you what you need me to be." What do you need God to be? Do you need him to be your provider? He says you shall not lack. Do you need him to be your healer? By his stripes you was healed. Do you need him to be your protector? He's the good shepherd. Do you need him to be wisdom? The Bible tells us he's been made wisdom, righteousness, and sanctification for us. The wisdom of God is on the inside of you. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus for everything that Jesus has done for us in his death, burial, and resurrection. We thank you, Father, for everything that he continues to do for us daily as our high priest at the right hand of God, making intercession for us, his saints. And we thank you, Father, for everything that he will do for us when he comes back and takes us away and completes our redemption. We thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen.